Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino, and throughout all of this quarantine, stay-at-home, social isolation, I've been doing my best to produce a couple extra episodes for you guys as much as I can, because I know everyone's cooped up at home, and I'm hoping that these extra podcasts can help take your mind off things or help you relax, recharge, rejuvenate, renew, whatever you got to do to get through this crazy time. So I will be back later this week with a Vanderpump Rules recap, and it's, of course, Real Housewives of New York premiere week, so I'll have two more episodes later this week. But for now, I have to say that we have a queen icon legend on the show. I had a chance to interview Marcia Gay Harden, who I love. And look, let me tell you something. I love talking to all of our Bravo stars and talking about all those shows. But truly, it's such a delight for me when I get a chance to talk to someone like Marcia Gay, who is an Academy Award winner. She won the Academy Award for Pollock. She was also nominated for an Academy Award for Mystic River. She's a Tony Award winner for Best Actress for 2009's God of Carnage. She was in Angels in America on Broadway in 93. Like, she's done it all. She was in, of course, First Wives Club, which is an all-time favorite of mine. So anyway, it was so exciting for me to get to chat with Marcia Gay about her career, her everything she's been in, and it's so fun. So I'm going to play that interview with you in just a second. Before I do, I have to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to support this podcast, you can go to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/everythingiconic. What else? We have t-shirts and all sorts of stuff available at everythingiconic.store. And I want to say again, I know I've been saying this a bunch, but thank you to everyone out there who's currently working and helping keep society afloat. If you're someone who works at the grocery store or a healthcare worker, a doctor, a nurse, someone who works in the factory making some of these things that we are getting, or a delivery driver, or anyone out there who's working to help keep things going, thank you so much. I worship you. I wish I could give you all a big old hug, and I'm just so grateful to everyone out there. It's a tough time for everyone. So I'm sending my love. I'm sending my virtual hugs and kisses. And is that cheesy? Sending my virtual hugs and kisses. It's what I'm doing, though. It's what I'm doing. Anyway, without further ado, please enjoy this chat with Marcia Gay Harden, queen, icon, and legend. Bye-bye.
No, I know we're separated, but I think this is just really, it's like a rest period, Leslie. We're just kind of getting our...
Ah! Oh, do it, Annie. Get angry.
I couldn't. I know that I should, Leslie. I really do. It's just...
Hit me. Stand up, Annie, and hit me.
I can't. Leslie, I'm so sorry. It's
Come
just...
On.
You know, maybe, I know what, maybe next
Annie,
week...
Annie, let it out. I want you to hit me. Trust me. Come on. It's okay.
Okay.
Oh, Rambo!
Ooh, a real tough guy. Come on,
Gosh.
Annie. Hit me!
I love that.
Oh,
my God.
That was better.
I'm so sorry. Oh, please don't tell Aaron.
Oh, time's up. It's time to go. Do you feel better?
Oh.
Hello, Marcia Gay.
Hi.
First of all, I just want to know, how are you doing? Are you in LA right now?
Yeah, I'm in LA. We were heading to one spot for spring break, and then we were going to go upstate where I have a country place out in the Catskills. It's like this beautiful raw land. It's like the neighbors don't have a dental plan, but that's cool. It's like beautiful. And we didn't end up getting to go. I thought I might rent an RV and go because my daughter's there. She was at school in Bennington and their school shut down. And then she and like seven friends are kind of starting this artist commune there.
Oh my gosh.
Their school is shut down and there's a lake, and I do pottery. So there's a kiln and a wheel, and they're like ceramics majors and stuff. So there's a shop for building stuff. So they're all up there, and I thought, shit, we'll just rent an RV. I'll take my other two. I've got twins that are 15, and we'll just do cross country. But then, like, everyone is saying, don't. Like,
yeah, don't,
it's so.
Leave the house. Don't you feel like it's mixed messaging a little bit? Like, I feel like it's very confusing. I was talking to my boyfriend today. I said, well, are we able to go like on walks outside and stuff? Like, because I feel like I've read different things.
Right. I see my neighbors walking around the neighborhood with masks on. I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm 6 feet away. And I don't mean to downplay it. I know, like, we get a lot of shit for downplaying it. I think what you said is really the truth. There's mixed messages. Like, you see on the news, you know, Idris Elba, hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. You know, so social distancing right now. Like, but your girlfriend is, like, sitting on your fucking lap.
Right.
Like, come on. Like, she's like, she's not social distancing. So you're, like, literally are like, what
are we supposed to do? I know. And yeah. To be honest, I don't know that I would not be able to sit on Idris Elba's lap if I was with him either.
Oh, hello. It's like my dream to sit on Idris Elba's lap in COVID or no. Of course, everybody was like, scoot over, girlfriend. He's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But, and also he's just that, he's that thing that like, you know, I'm a man of a different generation and if there's a problem, I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I'll sit on your lap.
Yes, yes.
But you know, it's totally weird. Like now we're, you know, I'm an Amazon fiend, so we're like wiping down every box before it comes in. And then they say it's okay to go to Whole Foods. I'm like, okay, cool. So we can go to Whole Foods. We can shop. Just keep your distance. Nobody is in a mask.
I know.
And everybody, no one has gloves on. All the workers there. No one has gloves on. Like, what?
It's all very confusing, I'll be honest. And I went to the grocery store, too, and I felt the same way. I went to Gelson's here in L.A., and I was just so stressed going because I felt like no one was taking the precaution that maybe I was. And I don't know. It was just – it was a lot. But the point is, Marcia Gay, is that we can't let anything happen to you. I need you safe and healthy because we love you so much. I speak for the people. And I actually last night, my boyfriend and I, we watched The Mist. We were trying to figure out, I knew I was interviewing you. I was like, what should I watch? And I had never seen The Mist. And first of all, you're so brilliant in it. But it also was like oddly topical because it's about a group of people who are stuck in a grocery store. I mean, we're speaking of grocery stores and they can't go outside. And your character is a bit of a monster, but you are brilliant in it.
First of all, what's your boyfriend's name?
His name is Matt.
Matt. Okay. Hello, yeah. Matt. Okay, good. I love boyfriends named Matt.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you're so right. It's like a group of people pitted against the world. And so it becomes more of an exploration into human character than it really is about the the reality of the bugs or not the bugs that are taking over the world. It's the how will people be there or not for each other. And I love my character.
Oh my god, it was such a monster. Was it fun to be that way? I mean, it was she was nuts, but in the best way.
She was fantastic. I loved her so much, and it was such an interesting process to find her because, you know, it's based on the Mist is based on a Stephen King book, right? Mm-hmm. So I read the book and I'm like, this isn't really me. I can affect that. I can be that. She was more of a kind of like a big, blousy woman. And I could think of other actresses that I would have cast if that's what they were looking for to describe the character in the book. And Darabont says, no, I just want, you know, I want you for it. I want you to come up with something. But he was casting me from afar. And so I was like, okay, but I like to come up with something with you, with the director. Mm-hmm. So let me give you five ideas of who this character could be, because she's got to be someone. She's got to be a little off in a way, but she has to be someone I think who has some damage to her as well. And so someone that you would get to be a fanatic. So you think, what are the archetypes of that in society? So one I created was like the commune hippie, so cool. But like, you know, you knew that in a heartbeat, she'd like take her rake and stick it in the ground and say that pepper is mine. You know? Like she wouldn't let. So she was like an activist is a better way to describe her. So I did her. I did someone that I just, but I would do like a wig and I put on a beret and I had a sound and I would tape that character saying lines. And then I did what I called the nun. And she was this really stark kind of character who was very mincing, very, very mincing. We've all had one as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would tape lines as her. Then I did Tammy Faye. And oh,
so these were, so this was you trying to figure out who that character was.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
And because I was far, and I didn't have costume and people to help me at the time, I needed to go in with an idea. So Tammy Faye was the third one, big buxom and blonde. I had a blonde wig. I pulled it out. I put it on. Then there was one more that I can't remember. Oh, just like the grocery mom who would take everything she could before you got it. And she would, like, steal the kitty litter she had to. And then the last one was the preacher's daughter, who I was totally sure she was a virgin except for a possible experience with her father, the preacher. And, you know, she was a real lady. She wore gloves. And that's the one we went with.
Because
I let Frank look at them all. He kind of liked the nun, but I was like, you know what? It's a dead giveaway. She's a little obvious, so people are going to know as soon as you see her that she's the enemy. I want you not to know. And so we went with the preacher's daughter. And what was fun about that was she was kind of ladylike. She did, and she was very religious. I needed someone who would be that religious. So that worked, and it was really fun. I know while we were shooting it, where the hell was Shreveport? We were shooting it in Shreveport.
Oh my God.
Have you ever been to Shreveport?
I've never been, no.
Okay, first of all, it's so mean to say because people would be like, that's not the way it is. But it was really, it was hotter in the hubs of hell. And there was this dog rendering factory like across the street from the hotel where they wanted to put us at, which was like a casino hotel. So everybody smoked and like all the rooms stank. But then you could see like in the middle of the day, you could see this. You could see when they would render the dog food, a cloud would roll down the street.
The mist was coming.
And you could literally see, I'm telling you, you could see it coming and it would roll over you and it was stank. And that's like, I ended up moving out into this suburb where like all the 3-year-olds had electric cars. it was like one of those where every street is a cul-de-sac, but all the 3-year-olds had little electric cars. We were like, oh, look at Johnny, he can drive really well. And, you know, my kids wanted them, but I wouldn't let them.
Yeah. Well, the movie is so good. I mean, it ends on a very kind of depressing note, but it was great. And it's not the normal. Normally, I'm the kind of person who I like a good comfort food movie. My favorite movie of yours is First Wives Club. And I just, that's like a movie. I like a comfort movie. I like a rom-com. I like a comedy. And that movie, First Wives Club, is like up there and probably like my top 3 movies of all time. Like it's so, so good. And you, of course, play Annie, Diane Keaton's therapist. Do you have any memories from working on that?
Well, I do because Diane, would often wear these like earplugs, and it was one of my very first movies ever. Maybe I'd done Miller's Crossing, and then that was like the next movie I did. And she would wear these music. She would have music in her ear to kind of get her in the mood. So she really wasn't available for any conversation before, and that was so different for me. But, you know, I would nevertheless try to make conversation with
sure,
her.
Sure.
You know, because she's dying.
Right.
And I just remember about that scene. She really hit me in the face with that bat, and both of us were just freaked out, but we stayed in the moment and it worked beautifully because it was, you could tell it was real. You know, grow from love, boy. It was true. It was, she was amazing.
Will you watch that when it's on? Like if you're flipping through the channels?
Danny, I never watch myself when I'm on.
Marcia, like, you need to put it on.
I just don't know.
It's so good.
It would be so weird. Well, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I don't think my kids have seen it. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I want them to watch Miller's Crossing. That's what I was saying to them.
This
is the perfect time to watch old movies.
I mean, I was going to ask you, like, what do you recommend? You've been in so many. Your career has been so vast and everything. I wondered, what do you recommend people watch while they're in quarantine of yours? I was going to ask you this later, but, like, is there one movie of yours? Would it be Miller's Crossing? Or what would you tell people? Hey, you're hunkered down. This will make you feel good, or this will make you think, or whatever.
God, that's so funny. Isn't that? Because it's always, you always feel so kind of vain answering because you're like, I'll tell them the movie I thought I was the best in. Right?
Yeah.
Where they can really see me acting.
You're acting in every movie, Marcia Gay. Every single movie, you're giving the performance.
You're like acting. So you want them to see. So, like, of course you would say, like, Pollock or something like that. But feel good, I would probably say Space Cowboys is a bit of a feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I think First Wives, I think Spitfire is a real soft feel good.
I think The Mist is one of the fun ones because people get really intrigued with it, with the character. Mm-hmm. Miller's is fun. Is a long, maybe Used People if you want, like, to see some fun sex scenes with, not with me, but with Brad.
Yeah, I was just reading Vulture, a New York Magazine did an article where they said Meet Joe Black is like one of the best movies to watch right now because it's very long. And Brad has...
It's a little too long, let's be real.
It's a little too long. But Brad, I don't think, has ever looked better. Like, he's the most pretty he's ever been in that movie, I think.
He's really, really pretty. But didn't you think he looked good in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
Recently.
Yeah. I mean, he looks good.
So he's, I don't know...
Stunning looking and everything. But yeah, he's aging really well, I think.
So is Matt pretty or handsome? Or
he's like, I'd say more pretty. My boyfriend has the highest cheekbones. Like, I'm so jealous of him. He has just stunningly high cheekbones. And that's what, yeah, he's just got very pretty facial features.
So would you say that Matt is your, he's your type now, right? So you like pretty, for me, they have to be a little rugged and a little funny. And if they're too pretty, it's intimidating.
Right.
Brad is really pretty. When we were on set, he has a little rugged job. When we were on set for Meet Joe Black, his mom is with us. And she was like, I just don't understand it. All the girls line up the door, you know, to see Brad. And I just don't get it. And you're like,
oh, my God, what
did you look at him? Have you looked at him lately?
Yeah.
He's so beautiful. But he's also just a wonderful person. He's a really wonderful, kind person.
Yeah. And you actually just recently worked with his ex-wife, Jennifer Aniston, on The Morning Show, which there's a scene that you did with her in it that is just, I encourage everyone to go watch it. I love the whole show, but there's a scene where you're talking to her at a party and you're like looking, you're doing some champagne glass work. I don't know how else to explain it, but it's just such a brilliant scene of acting. I was just so blown away by it. I loved it. I love Morning Show too in general.
I don't know how you have the time to watch everything that you watch. It's amazing
watch
to me. You watch a lot. I was like, I don't think I can go on a show because I haven't slept with anybody famous and I don't know any pop culture at all. I'm so bad that way. But I love that you just know all of this. This is, I think, some of Jennifer's best work, actually.
100%.
On The Morning Show. It's really rich. It's really complicated. And yet she still manages to make it funny. She just has a way. She's just so freaking affable, but she's taking it to other places. I haven't seen her go. I really love her work on it.
Yeah,
I love Reese. You know, I always love Reese, so she's like a given to me. But this thing that Jennifer does where she can be in the middle of a crying scene, and it's for real, but you still, you're with her. And she's risking making herself ugly, and I mean character-y ugly in it. Which is also something really wonderful. A lot of people won't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great performance. And I also love seeing these two women at the helm. I'm such a fan of female-led projects, especially because I just think that, like, it's kind of rare for us to see, even though more and more we're getting projects that are starring and about women. But you've been in a few. You were in, of course, Whip It, which I wanted to ask. Like, that was a project that's directed by Drew Barrymore. It stars all of these badass women. Is it like a different vibe when you're working with so many strong women? Or is it, I don't know, do you have any insight on that you might be able to share?
God, yeah. Oh, truly, it depends on the person, not on the gender.
Sure,
or the sex,
sure.
I would say. Gender, sex, what do I say? It depends on the person. But there is a kind of person who's used to being, you know, on set and in charge, and it's usually a man because they've gotten more of the jobs. But I can think of a few women like it, too, who've been in power positions for a long time. And maybe that's what it comes down to, who's been in a power position for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, kind of want to swing their balls a little bit wider than other people. And sometimes it can hit you in the eye and you're like, okay, you need to step back because that was irritating. And also trying, you know, just trying to monopolize. And I think the thing that I hate the most when I'm on set, when I'm working with someone who's a little power hungry, are sort of the shame tactics. I hate that. I just
What do you
really
mean?
Hate it.
you know, like when they want to talk too loudly to you about something that's private in the scene and shame you or shame other people, or like classic, and anybody who's ever been on a crew will get this one, classic actor forgets their lines, actor didn't study hard enough, actor didn't do the work. So they're on set and somebody makes the quietest noise over in the corner, like, shut up, guys, I got that. I can't, you know, it's so fucking loud on the set. Crew, what a stupid crew you are. And they just fucking go off and off and off on the crew. And no, the other actors just look at each other and like, didn't do their homework, didn't do their line. And it's just trying to shame people with bullying and shaming. And I just really, I hate that. For Whippet, of course, Drew's not like that at all. For a lot of the women that I've worked with, there seems to be just such an enthusiasm and such a glee to have either been invited to the table or to have chosen to pull their damn chair up to the table. Mm-hmm. And so there's just such a pride in that moment of not waiting to belong, but simply accepting the belonging, which I think is, you know, you can probably take and you can split that off into lots of different areas of people's lives, but specifically in film, because they have this enthusiasm, they actually listen to other people. They listen to other ideas. They're not threatened. They'll say, ah, that's a good one. Or, gee, that was on my mind too. Huh? Let me take another look at that. And so it feels slightly more collaborative than it has in the past, or with you know, kind of some male controlled sets or power controlled sets.
Right. And Whippet is such a quirky film, and it's such an interesting thing to me. I just think it's a movie that hasn't been made before. I mean, so oftentimes we see movies and it's like, oh, we've seen that 100 times. But Whippet is just so incredibly unique.
Do you skate?
I know, but I've actually been to, I can't think of, what is the word I'm thinking of? I've seen the women here in
the
LA.
Derby?
The Derby, yeah. I've been to the Derby. The Derby Dolls, yes.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. Like, they're the most, it's something I recommend if you're in LA or somewhere where you can get to one of those shows. They're such a good time. It's like a great crowd of people. There's drinking and there's a great show. Yeah. It's just really, really fun.
Food trucks and all that. But wait, you don't rollerblade even?
I mean, I did. And I actually put.
I was going to say, that's so not gay of you.
I know. I was just talking to a friend. I was like, I need to get my rollerblades back out. It's been a long time since I've rollerbladed.
Come on, because the best things are like those dance circles in New York, and everyone's like in little cute shorts, their butts kind of showing, going around. It's really, and the music's great. When we're allowed to go to Central Park again, or any park,
right.
And when we're allowed to be near each other, I suggest everybody does rollerblading in those park settings.
I know. Rollerblading's a good workout. I mean, whatever workout we can do nowadays, but I think rollerblading is a good. I'm going to get my rollerblades back out of storage after we're done here.
It's the fun of dancing, too. That's it. Dancing is a great workout.
So
oh my
much
God.
Fun.
Will we ever dance again? Will we ever be able to dance again?
I hope so. I hope so, Moshe Gay. I think everything's going to change, but I think, you know, on the other side of this, we're going to need to dance. We're going to need to dance it out as much as we can.
I think so. Celebrate our lives. Right. Our beautiful life.
You know, I want to get a little deep for you, with you for a second, and not that we haven't been deep this far, but in 1993, you were actually nominated for a Tony for your performance in Angels in America. And at that time, I was trying to kind of put myself in that time, and it was 93. America was dealing with the AIDS crisis, which at that time, I did some research, it was 2.5 million cases globally at that time. And I wondered, what was it hard to take on that project at that time? It must have felt so heavy.
You were not born, right?
No, I was born, but I was young. I was born in the late 80s, okay. But I was young. Okay. But, you know, I imagine it being a tough time to do with something so heavy.
You know, by the time we did it, what was it, 94? Is that when we did it? 93, 94?
Yeah, 93, I think.
Yeah. So my first boyfriend in high school, God rest him, his name was Sean Dawson, and he was gay and didn't really know it at the time, and nor did I. And that's a long career of all the best men that I've ever loved are gay.
Right.
So
that's why we love you.
The way it goes.
That's it. Middle name, babe. And no, just can I just tell you about the middle name thing?
Yeah.
So please. Somebody sent me this. So someone sent me this article that said, Marsha, homosexual hardened, talks about her mother's passing because I guess the newspaper wasn't allowing people to say it was from England.
Oh,
they weren't allowing
God.
People to say gay. So it's Marsha homosexual hardened. So they thought that I was gay. Marsha gay hardened. I was like, I'll take it.
That's so anyway, funny.
That was really profound. So my friend Sean passed in like 85, and he had been my boyfriend in 76. When I moved overseas, and when Sean came out, you know, it was early 80s. And so it was like literally red roller blades and the disco. And, you know, I'm sure he was probably quite wild. And he passed in 85, and I'll just remember there was just a sense of, he was Catholic, and there was just a sense of what a sinner he must have been. And that always, broke my heart because this is the dearest person ever. So by the time Angels came around, I will be embarrassingly honest. I did not know of the play in California, and I did not know of what a sensation it was in California. And when it came to New York, I went in blind. I had no idea. I had not seen it or heard of it. So, but I knew the subject matter. And it was really clear that this person writing was a modern-day Shakespeare, which I just think Kushner is. Mm-hmm. We're living with a Shakespeare, and mm-hmm. that is, to me, Kushner. It's just astonishing. And this is a play unlike any I'd ever read, and the character Harper was unlike any I'd ever heard of. And it wasn't for me that she was on drugs. It was for me that she was not living her truth because her husband was lying to her, right? So everyone who was gay wasn't living their truth, and neither was she, married to someone that she loved, not living her truth. So it wasn't like, oh, this is so hard. It was, this is so beautiful. And there's very few moments in life, Danny, and if you haven't had one, I hope you have one, where you go, oh, my mission, that my work and life and everything about it has lined up right now in this one moment. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the most important thing I'll ever do. Wow. And I'm getting to do it. And that's what it was with Angels. I got to do it. So 3.5 hours, one play, 3.5 hours, the next play, people coming into the audience, in the middle of the unprotected sex scene that Steven Spinella and Joe Mantello had together. When he says the condom broke, shall I go on? Men standing up, no, no, you know, gargling their anguish in their throats, not able to hold back. People, well, I was living in the Village, the West Village at the time, and people go, oh, are you Marsha Gay Harden? Yes, I am. Well, I just have to let you know, I took my parents to see the play, and then I told them I was gay, and then I told them I was dying. And it's like this incredible moment where, for some reason, I got to be a part of this journey of what that was, and it was really a journey of victory, because if we look at the gay community and how they helped because of their conviction and because of their voices and because of their unity, solve AIDS and live with AIDS and teach people how to have dignified lives with AIDS, that's this enormous battle that had such force behind it. Because I think my mother recently passed away from Alzheimer's. Sorry. And when I speak about it, thank you, when I speak about it, I'll say, that's what we need. We need the advocates in Alzheimer's the way that the gay community was able to advocate for themselves with AIDS and fight for themselves. And of course, the Alzheimer's community can't do that because it's so enormously isolated and they don't remember what they have, so they can't live with the disease and advocate for the disease. So it's really different. But that was a really powerful time. Okay, you got serious, and I just went off, didn't I?
No, I love the serious Marsha Gay. I like the fun and fluff, too. I mean, I like all of it. But you mentioned your mother, though, and your book, The Seasons of My Mother, is actually so beautiful. And when I was doing my research, I saw an interview you did with CBS This Morning where you said you can repurpose your pain to something positive. And I know it wasn't about like kind of the state we're in now, but I found it so, it hit me really hard. And I wondered, like, in a time like this where a lot of people are feeling like kind of anxious or confused or stressed, like how would you recommend or suggest people repurpose their pain or their confusion or their anxiety? I don't know. Does that question make sense?
It completely makes, you always make sense, Danny.
Oh, thank you.
There's something about you that's so humble. And as soon as you finish this question, it's your turn to be interviewed because I want to know a couple things about you.
Of course.
But to do that, well, okay, my daughter, and you know, you do things, you make things, you take care of projects that you've wanted to do for a long time. And hopefully, and by the way, we are so lucky. I'm lucky. I've got this safe home with two great kids. You know, I'm a single mom. We can cook and bake and hang out together and watch old movies. We just watched Godfather, and you know, and my daughter and I are making soap. It's so cool. I'm going to send you some. It's so beautiful.
Oh my God, please do.
You know, we're doing kind of fun things like that. I'm cleaning out the office and files and just stuff like that. Like that's how you just repurpose this moment into that. And I think surrender to it a little bit. But my daughter did bring up, she goes, Mom, what about people who live in like abusive households and they can't get out? I was like, you know, I had not, I'm embarrassed to say, I hadn't even thought about that. And there's a lot of people working with, obviously, with those people in shelters and whatnot, and my heart just go out to them. But I think, you know, not to be, when I'm totally that person, as soon as you say something nice about me or something, I'm going to give out something nice about how I live, I always have to, like, put in for the other side. So it's like some weird thing that I do. Maybe you could just say it's being aware and being embarrassed at the, well, I don't even know what the hell it is. But the truth is, this message goes out to lots of people who aren't in such dire situations. So beyond reaching out to help other people, yes, of course. But I think your question was aimed at within your own home, anxiety can be real too, with whatever your home is. And then I think you just try to be creative. Isn't that it? You just try to be creative. My daughter, my daughter made this. But don't, and it's all ironic, right? Because you guys, your generation is totally about the irony, which I don't get at all. Like they showed me, it was either a TikTok or a meme. I think it was a TikTok. They showed me one of this girl burping and they're hysterical. They're falling on the floor laughing about this girl burping. Yeah. And they just look at me. I'm friggin' poker face. They're like, Mom, you don't get it? I'm like, she burped. What's funny about that? It's not funny, you guys.
Oh my God.
But she made a larger than life size cardboard cutout of Miley Cyrus. That's what she just did for fun the other day. And that's on her door. And now every time she and my son pass each other, they go, Miley!
I love that. I love that. Whatever gets people through, right? Like we all need
Yeah. And my son, he's a Broadway, you know, God bless him. I hope he's going to be a Broadway star one day. But he's a beautiful singer. And he also loves makeup, and he just did another makeup. I don't know if you've ever seen his makeup. He's got like a little.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so he did another makeup face, and I was like, do a video. You haven't done one in a long time, honey. So he did that.
Which I have to say, though, he's gay, correct? I mean, and he hasn't seen First Wives Club?
I know. That's not right.
It's not right. You tell him I am upset with him.
I know. And Katya was his, like, you know, spirit animal or gay godmother or whatever you call it.
Right.
And when we met her for the first time, like he was frigging in love with Katya. He even did Katya for one Halloween, completely dressed with Katya. So we go to see The Christmas Queens. Have you seen it? It's really fun.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about. It's a bunch of RuPaul drag queens, right?
Yeah. Hold it. Christmas Queens. So we go to see that. And husband's hoping Katya would be in it, but she wasn't in it. And as we left, I'd gone to get the car from the parking lot, and I come back to pick him up, and he goes, Mom, Katya just walked inside. I'm like, really? Did you say hi to her? Did you tell her that you love her? He's like, no, I can't. I'm like, wait a minute. Julita, watch the car. They're like 13. Watch the car.
That's funny.
Katya! Katya! Like,
oh, man.
running down the hallway because, of course, I think she doesn't know me from Adam. And I run. I'm like, Katya, Katya, excuse me, Katya, Katya. She's like halfway, like behind security, like going backstage. Katya, Katya. And she turns around and she goes, grow from love.
Of course. Of course.
Quotes the First Wives Club, at which point I was the new hero to my son. He was like, she knows you? Well, she knows First Wives Club.
There is not, I mean, I'd argue 99% of the gay community has watched First Wives Club at least once a year since it came out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's so
We're
going to
watch that. We are going to watch that.
Please make him watch it. Like, it's so, it is so fun, so good. There's music, there's everything.
I will.
I have to get back to some of your performances. You won the Academy Award for Pollock. You were nominated again for Mystic River. And just, I wondered, is there a performance of yours that you think is maybe not necessarily award worthy? I mean, I don't want to ask you to like brag too much about yourself if you're uncomfortable, but is there a performance where you're like, oh, that was actually just as good or better than Pollock or Mystic River? Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying.
I love you so much. Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. I live in LA, but I'm from Ohio.
Oh, you are from Ohio. I heard that in your Jennifer Love Hewitt interview.
Oh, yeah, she was so sweet.
She shot something. She was very sweet. She shot something near where you live. I like Ohio. So what would I say? You know, it's literally about transformation, right? Like, I think Pollock was really good because you had to do a couple different things. You had to do accent. You had to go into this world. You had to really affect this character. And fortunately, Lee Krasner was a real character, so I could affect her. Although I will tell you, I was listening to old tapes of her when she was older before I auditioned for Ed. Mm-hmm. And she kind of became a little bit, you know how old people do, a bit of a caricature of themselves on some level. So like, even when she was talking, it was really, really, it was like a really, really kind of a sound. And so when I met Ed, I was like, oh yeah, thank you for having me over. It was like, Marcia Gay, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing Lee Krasner, can't you tell? Oh, it was God. Like, stop it immediately because people have to watch this for like an hour and a half or two and you can't make that noise. So we had to find, something that was more just easier. And I understood that it was because she had kind of sunk into this way of being. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I love Pollock. But the what would I say? I think Spitfire Grill was a really fun characterization, completely unlike what people are used to seeing me doing, because she was really nice and she was really soft and sweet. And I don't know why people always think that I'm just so tough. I mean, I love being tough. I love being a sort of tough woman and strong woman. But I do think that it was to have this sweet character, to be able to play the sweet character who found her strength, that was really a lot of fun. Did you have something that you thought that you were like, Marsh, this was really good? Like, I thought Mystic River was really good too.
Yeah, Mystic River is great. Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. I loved you in Trophy Wife, which I know is not necessarely acting-wise, but I just love Trophy that. Wife. Yeah, it's just it was a great show.
So much. And she's a character. Diane was a character that I would love to play again because there's nothing more fun than being grand and then being cut down to size. Whenever you're grand and being cut down, I just think that's such a fun comic device. And so she was so much fun. I don't know why that show didn't go. I think it would have lasted for a long time. It should have.
You know, that's something I think that's perfect to binge right now. Like, as everyone's home, I think that was, it was one season, I think 22 episodes, but it's so yeah. good. That's something I would recommend to people to watch. I also, I love, as a movie, one of your projects, I love Mona Lisa Smile is a favorite project of mine, I'd say.
That was fun. She was based a little bit on my mom, who was, first of all, Julia was awesome in that, and another really women-centric film.
Yep, a bunch of badass women in that, too.
Yeah. Mike Newell directed it, and he was absolutely lovely. He went on to do a Harry Potter. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
Oh, yeah, I love Harry Potter. Yeah.
You're the perfect age for it.
Love
Harry
it.
Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. And Snape, I always miss Snape.
That's something, Harry Potter is something that I hope one day they actually do reboot. Wouldn't you love to see it as like a TV series or something? I think the movies were so fantastic, but I would love to see it interpreted another way or even in a TV series where they could play around with length a little bit more and include more of the book.
Genius idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe first of all, she writes specifically for that shorter form because every chapter is a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. Every chapter. You feel like if I put the book down, the boy will die. Right. But you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see Angels in America as a musical by the woman who did Hadestown. Have you seen Hadestown?
I've never seen Hadestown.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I'll have to see it.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, Angels in America, that was done brilliantly on TV, but some of these stories, like you're right, he is modern day Shakespeare, and it's like I don't always love a reboot or something that's redone, but certain projects like that where it's just so, the source material is so brilliant, it's like, yeah, I'm okay with it if it's interpretive a little different way.
Well, for sure. And Angels was very operatic as well. You know, it had long opera type speeches. And I just think if you see Hadestown, you'll see what I mean, because it's this kind of jazzy, rhythmic, musical piece that is very American, but also very sexy and very soulful. And I think that would be fantastic for Tony.
Yeah.
For Angels. But I don't go, I don't know. It's funny. Like, I don't even think, I think, like, what work did I do that I would talk about? You usually kind of do it and forget it and move on.
Yeah. You need to watch some of this stuff. I need you to watch it. It's good. Okay. All of your stuff is good. Okay. So I have a little lightning round for you. Well, first of all, before I get a lightning round, are you doing morning show season two? Do you have any insight of like?
I hope so. This character was based on Maureen Dowd, who is the great, great New York Times reporter. And she's also a beautiful, sexy woman. She used to date Aaron Sorkin. Mm. That was another fun thing. Newsroom was fun.
Yeah.
But she dated Aaron Sorkin, and she's just as smart as hell, as is he. And so I knew when they gave me the role, they were like, this is kind of based on her, like sort of inspired by her. Okay, cool. So I'm at this Oscars party and this beautiful woman bumps into me and and walks on and she drops her phone. I pick it up and I chase her through the crowd. I'm like, here's your phone. She turns around. She goes, looks at me. And she goes, oh, I'm Maureen Dowd. And I said, oh, cool. So anyway, your phone.
Did she know that she knew that you were doing it? Oh my God.
No. Like, I don't know if she did or not, but I was just like, she knew, maybe she knew me from newsroom probably. So of course I'm like, yeah, sure. So here's your phone. I'm like, oh my God. I like, it took me a second to realize it, just put the name together. And I told her I was doing it. And she wrote the nicest note after she saw season one, because she said, I just didn't think anything more could be said intelligently on that subject. And you guys did it, which was really nice.
Yeah. I'm telling you, everyone who's listening, I hope they go watch that scene between, I mean, all of your scenes in that are brilliant, but the scene with Jennifer Aniston where you're holding a champagne glass.
And oh, yeah.
It's just so, you're like kind of sniffing it and, yeah. Oh my God, it's just, it's wonderful. Okay. A lightning round. Okay. Who's the most fun co-star you've ever worked with?
Fun? Brad Whitford.
Bradley Whitford.
Trophy wife.
The
answer. That's all.
No, that's okay. You could talk as much as you want, Marcia Gay.
Somebody shut her up.
No.
When I was born. Okay, go ahead.
I love it. Who's the best scene partner you've ever worked with, like acting wise?
Oh, Meryl Streep.
Wait, what am I forgetting?
We did a play together, a Mike Nichols play, okay. Called The Seagull, Shakespeare in the Park. So it wasn't a Mike Nichols. Mike Nichols directed it. And it was Meryl and John Goodman and Natalie Portman and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Chris Walken. Oh, my God.
Cast.
It was a cast of everybody first named. And Meryl was amazing. She was like the most loyal dressing room partner ever, scene partner. But I have to say, maybe now that I mentioned Chris Walken, Chris and I did this little movie. What the hell is it called? Maiden Heist. Mm-hmm. And I love the character. And her name is Rose. And Chris made me laugh. And he played so well. I would almost pee my pants every day. I love Chris Walken.
Oh, I love that. He's fun to watch. It's so funny. Everyone has an impression they can do of him.
Everybody.
Okay, so what music do you listen to? What kind of music do you like?
I like all kinds. I like jazz. I like acoustic folk. With Hudson, I never listened to Broadway music sort of before until Hudson introduced me to it. Hudson is my son. Mm-hmm. And he was like always playing these Broadway musicals. And I used to kind of find it jarring initially. And now I don't at all. It's so beautiful. I just don't think I ever knew how to listen to it. So now a little bit of that. But yeah, jazz, classical, folk, acoustic, in the day, you know, Joan Armatrading Trading and Joni Mitchell.
You mentioned Diane Keaton before she would do the scene, she would be listening to music. Have you ever tried that method before of like using music to kind of get you into character, or is that?
No, I do try it. And specifically, rather than me listening to exterior music, it will be generating it, like humming it, generating it inside mm-hmm. my own body. There's a certain song that I'll often do, and it just generates a kind of resonance and emotion.
Okay, so what shows, hard shift here, what shows do you binge watch? Do you binge watch anything, like now that you're home? Anything you're watching?
Yeah, we did. I was binge watching End of the Fucking World with my daughter. We binge watched Game of Thrones when my other daughter was here. We were starting to binge watch Fleabag, which I really loved, but I thought it became a little self-aware. That's the whole point of it, I guess. Bill Hader. What's the name of it?
Oh, Barry.
Yes, Barry. We're binge watching that, which I love. Really. Now that is freaking unusual.
Yeah.
I've never seen a show like that. He's fantastic. I've never seen anything like that. They want me to watch Westworld, and I would because I literally worship Ed Harris, but, I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid I would be too, like, I couldn't sleep or something.
Yeah. I tried Westworld. I couldn't get into it.
It's just hard.
Okay. If you were choosing for People Magazine the sexiest man alive, who would you choose?
Well, now,
here comes a stupid generational thing. Because when I look at people who everyone would go, oh my God, the sexiest man ever. To me, they're like a child and I feel like a pedophile. Yeah. So like to me, I'll be like, Clint Eastwood. He's like, he's 90.
Let me tell you something. Clint Eastwood is still sexy.
He's the sexiest man ever. Or like you'll go like Kenneth Branagh, he's really sexy because he's A, talented, and B, really funny. I love funny men. I love like Ray Romano.
Ray Romano has gotten so sexy as he's gotten older. He? Like so, I find him so sexy, Ray Romano.
Much sexier, and what like of course Durr, everybody you know, what's his name, Bradley. Who sure. I did run into Cooper and went into him once in line and I was trying to say I liked his work and he was so beautiful. I couldn't form a sentence. And I was like, Marcia Gay, if you of all people who can't form a sentence, come on, child, like stiffen up. And I just couldn't, maybe the stiffen up idea. I don't know what maybe that got in my head. I just couldn't. He was so, so beautiful, but he falls a little in the pretty category. Eddie Vedder, he's really friggin' sexy. Bono, sexy.
Wait, I have a question. So you were in the 50 Shades movies. Jamie Dornan, does he fall into the too pretty category for you?
He was my son, yeah.
I know he's your son, but...
No, he does only because I feel like if I sat on his lap, if I was his age and I sat on his lap, I would squish him. I can't feel like I would squish somebody if I sit on their lap.
I would like to try to sit on his lap.
You already are on Idris's lap, and I'm on his lap. Sure. Scoot over. You can go on Jamie's lap.
Jamie Dornan to me is just one of the sex. I mean, he's one of the sexy. I don't know what he's like in person. I don't know if I don't know.
Sweetest, familyest guy ever.
Oh, good.
Shy as hell.
He seems shy. I always get like I feel like he would be cold, but maybe it's just because he seems shy.
No, he's shy, and I think you know everybody just. Picks at him and pokes him and wants something from him all the time. So he probably is a little protected, but I found him just sweet. You know, he was my son for God's sake.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, Marcia Gay, this was just such a delight to talk to you about your career. I have loved watching you. You've given us so, so much. I have one last question to leave you with. This is a tough time and I sort of asked you this earlier, but I'm wondering if there's a quote or something you hang on to, like when you're going through a tough time that you might be able to share with listeners who are cooped up inside and they need something to hold on to.
Yeah, sure. I just thought of a quote that my acting teacher used to give me, and it actually was one of my meditation cards the other day, and I'm just leaving it on the counter. It's basically, you are enough. And my acting teacher used to tell me that all the time because I would think, no, I have to have an accent. I have to have a wig. I have to have a this. I have to have a that. I have to be anything other than what I am at my core. And then he would say, Marcia Gay, you are enough. And I would balk at that. I would think, I'm boring by myself. I'm not enough. I'm not like this. And I would compare myself to 1,000 other people. And ultimately, as I've gotten older, I understand that it's literally when you say to yourself at your core, you are enough, you're kind of saying a lot because you're saying you have it all in you, which you do. You have all the wisdom in you, which you do. You have all the love in you, which you do. And you have the ability to do whatever you choose because you are enough. So that probably would be the thing that I would say.
That's beautiful. I love it. Marcia Gay, you're a queen, you're an icon and a legend. Thank you so much for taking this time. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.